AgroCast Resurrected.
Hi, this is Raymond Brules and David Hades Becker with AgroCast Resurrected, covering the Super Nintendo World Press Day in 2023.
Oh, that was so much fun.
You got invited out to...
We got invited out
for the Press Day. I have to say that I really was impressed with Universal and how they handled the press going into that event.
I was going to ask how you thought about that, because this has been one of your like major press events that you've been able to do before, right?
Yeah. I've done a few other press events, but this one was really awesome. The fact that they gave us our press badges, they had the super comfy van that shuttled us to where we needed to be. They gave us the wristband, so we got to play with that. Yeah, it was just a hell of an experience, and I was really impressed by it all coming together. But you've done a fair number of these.
I have. That's why I was curious, because it's for me, it felt like a little bit of old hat, outside of like obviously with it being Universal, they drive us all the way down the back lot, let us out there instead of just parading us through the park wearing our badges and stuff like that. I've had a mixed bag on that, but I will say it was definitely handled a little more professionally, but it's Universal. I didn't think I expected less than that.
And we also got to see a lot of other content creators as well as YouTube personalities and podcasters. It was really neat experience seeing all those folks.
Yeah, the director of Nintendo was out there in the mix of it all too.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see him, but I know people like saw him in the backstage and all that stuff.
Well, and I'm not sure I'd be able to identify him.
Yeah.
We rolled up. We got dumped on the back end. Not dumped. We got off the bus.
Well, we kind of got dumped off because we didn't know where to cross. We kind of jaywalked across.
Well, and then you stopped and you asked questions to make sure that we weren't going to get in trouble with any content or pictures that we took.
Mm-hmm.
You've been releasing pictures and some of the video that we took through our socials. I was amazed by how immersive an experience it was. We walked in. There were the pipes.
Yeah, the first thing you walk in is you see the warp pipes and all that stuff. It's a photo op, yeah, but then you have the main one that you have to walk in, makes the noise, does all the lights, so it feels like you're actually transported from Universal in.
And the thing that we noticed and we spoke about while we were there was the fact that it was kind of self-contained.
Yeah.
You didn't see the rest of the park.
Yeah, I think once we got inside, the only thing I was able to see outside of the natural sky was there was like one crane working on something next to us, but it just blocked out everything, like all the sights, sounds, everything else from Universal. So it felt like you were transported into Super Nintendo World.
Well, and even when we walked out and we took the escalators up into the rest of the park,
mm-hmm.
when we stopped to look down, we still couldn't see a whole lot into the park.
Yeah, we could see a few things here and there to let us know it was there, but you couldn't see like any of the finer details, or even like I think I had troubles even finding the one-up shop, or even some of the other interactive experiences we did out there.
Yeah,
like I knew where they were after experiencing it all, but I still couldn't be like, that's it right there, got it.
Yeah. Well, and so we walked in, and the very first thing that I was struck with was the gamification of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. Because there were a number of games that we played through because you had to collect the keys.
Yes, you had to get at least 3 keys to do the hidden extra feature that was in there, which there was 4 different places to do that.
Well, and they had the gold bricks so you could collect the coins.
The coins.
And then when we were in the guest shop, the individual we were speaking to there said that the wristbands, you could actually get those benefits in the Switch game?
In certain Switch games, yeah. It's kind of like the Amiibo thing is you could put it up there and it give you exclusive skins for like the... Like we did the Mario Kart event experience. You can get a specific skin for that. You can move some of the coins into some of the other games. Like they have little gamification. Like if you actually participate in the land, you get those in-game benefits on your Switch if you have one.
Well, that was fun watching the playthroughs of the games,
mm-hmm.
as we were going through. Because I know you have this fabled ability of pattern recognition.
It's true.
And so I'm sitting there watching you. And I've got it on film. You basically watch the timing of it. And in one shot, bam.
Yeah.
You got it.
First one of the day, according to the representative there, which could be or could not be. But that's what they said.
Yeah. Well, and they were so friendly and helpful.
Yeah.
There were a ton of folks. I don't know if that's standard for that park area.
I'd like to think it's going to be for a little bit, because I know one of the things I noticed at those little events, there was only a couple that actually had a solid line queue for it, and other ones felt like you could just walk up to it which, if you have thousands of people flooding in, could get a little chaotic. Like the one you're talking about with the sequencing thing. There was no line whatsoever. We just walked up. They said, hey, go and do this. And you get three tries at it. I'm like, and I think I even asked, I was like, how is that going to be managed once the park's actually open? Because once it's open, you're just going to have random people running up there and doing it all the time if you don't have something. Whereas I think the Goomba one, there was a little like small stanchion. The Thwomp Box one actually had the full-on snake line queue. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
Because like the one that we did where you smacked it, there was no space really for a line queue. And all right, full disclosure, I think I must have played that thing four times before I got it because my timing is terrible. But
I also got that on video.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, it was great getting to play through it. And what the other thing that struck me, just talking about first thoughts, was when I first walked in, I didn't think there was a ton of content there. But as we started playing through it, moving through it, it took us the better part of our time there.
Yeah, I think I clocked us in. It took us about 4.5 hours, and we didn't even complete everything. Well, we'll see everything, because there was two whole sections we didn't get into.
Yeah.
And we did all the main stuff, the gift shop, the ride, the restaurants, Kid Koopa Bowser Challenge as well, like all that stuff. But then there was the little hidden nooks. Like we even tried to go exit through one of them and like, oh no, you had to go out through another area.
Yeah.
And we just ran out of time.
Well, and there was the one thing that you wanted to...
The AR viewfinder they have. Because we found that right at the end of the day. Because it's like, oh, where do these stairs go? And like, oh, up there is where this AR thing, which is what I was trying to find all day. Because it should allow you to look over the park. And it'll put like characters in randomly. So you'll see one of the Koopa kids walking behind some other pedestrian in the real world or whatever. Kind of that fun little extra experience to see. We didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
Wah, wah. Sad trombone. So, the one ride game that I was super impressed with was the Mario Kart.
Okay.
Because of the integration of AR. Get in there, we sit down, and I know at first you were asking about the comfort of the car.
Yes.
Because I guess some folks had talked about that.
Well, some of the earlier tech events that they did, there was people saying that the size of the seats in the car were not made for your average American, adult male American. Which I think they rated as like, if you have more than a 40-inch waist, you're not going to fit into these seats. And as somebody who has a 38-40 inch waist, I had absolutely zero issues.
Yeah, it seemed pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
and then we got to put the headset on.
Well, we had the one headset that kind of went on like a VR helmet, but didn't have the visor. And then they gave you the visor that clicks into that, so that they can wash the part that actually touches you while you're to keep the whole cleanliness thing going.
Yeah,
and while you could still get the AR experience.
And then as we were going through the ride, just seeing all of the characters zooming by as we were trying to drive
and shoot, and apparently you can lose the game.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
But yeah, we found out afterwards, but somehow we snuck in a win.
Yeah.
Because I think they said that you have to have four people in the car because you have to get at least 400 points to win.
Yep.
And it was just the two of us.
Yeah, and I did score more points.
You did score more points.
It's probably the only time that I will ever play a video game and beat David. But it was really fun, and I was really excited about seeing that integration of AR. I know that we've seen some of that at other parks, like Disney had some of that with the Spider-Man.
Yeah, the Spider-Man stuff, and I think there's another one that they have.
It's going to be really exciting to see more of that integration. Mm. The other thing that was around the park that I thought was really neat was all of the LED screens and the images that were projected, like especially like in the cafeteria when Bowser attacks.
Yeah, like you had the whole story play out, and it kind of like you could see the kitchen, or the quote kitchen, where all the toadstools are working, and then Bowser attacks and you watch as they all freak out and run, and you could see the towns outside and people are trying to hunker down and defend themselves and all that stuff, and as you could watch him slowly flying around.
Well, and it was great because they also lowered the lights.
Yeah.
Now that was an experience eating at the cafe, because when we got through the line and walked up, there was essentially a maitre d' that asked us how many were in our party and then took your tray and then led us to a table.
Yeah, I was curious on if that's going to be how it goes moving forward, or if that was just for the event, because it looked like they had this solid maitre d' stand.
Yeah.
But it was also seemed like it was built similar to the other themed restaurants they have throughout the rest of the park, like the one at The Simpsons or even the one in Hogwarts. Because usually you show up, you have your tray, and then you sit there and wait for your food. Then you go find your seat on your own. This one, it was, they actually had the servers and all that stuff.
Well, and the food was pretty good, too.
Yes. Full disclosure, we didn't have to pay for any of it. But even with the prices they did have, I think my meal would have came out to be about $40.
Yeah, I kept my receipt. Because I'm noticing how it was pretty affordable.
Yeah.
Because we got an entree, a dessert, and a drink.
And a drink. And by not only was it like, you say it's affordable, but it also wasn't the lower quality that you have in something. Where it's like, oh yeah, that's a frozen chicken patty they throw on there. Like you could see where they seared in like the mustaches on our burgers. Or they had grilled mushrooms on mine.
Yeah, because I got the Luigi burger, which had an amazing pesto. And I'm a foodie, so I have standards, mostly because my partner has fostered that in me. She says I came with that pre-installed. But you had the Mario burger.
Yes.
And that looked pretty tasty.
It was. Not a big fan of mushrooms, but I had to have it in general because we're in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do that.
We took pictures because there was a section that they had kind of quarantined off that showed all of the food.
Yeah, I wish they had had the Bowser Fireball special at there because it seemed like it was a spicy meatball. And I was like, I'd have been down for that one. But
yeah, David, if you don't know, loves the heat. And so that would have been right up his alley. But yeah, the food, I have to say, in terms of food quality at an amusement park, I was really impressed. Yeah.
I just hope they keep it up. And it wasn't just for the media, because I think one of the things I noticed in the tiramisu I had, which was the one that looked like the question mark box, it felt like it was still frozen. Like it came out of, which I get they need to preserve it, but it felt like it was one of those, it was pre-made like a week ago. And they just thought it out to bring it out.
Well, and that might have been also because I saw them bringing out desserts after folks had sat down.
Yeah.
So it might have just been how many, because I also know some tables had paid extra to try all of the food. And so it might have been that they just hadn't expected.
The sheer number. Because I think it took us, 20 minutes to even get through the line.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a smaller line with only the limited number of people they had in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder, after going through that area of the park, how many folks are going to be allowed in Super Nintendo World?
Yeah, if they're going to gate it at the warp pipe. Because it seems, I mean, it's in the far back, so you kind of have to walk the entirety of Universal to get to it.
Yeah.
But I don't, obviously right now it's in up until probably Horror Nights, it's going to be busy because right now we're going into spring break. And then right after that, it's going to be summer. And they just opened up on February 17th.
Well, and it makes me wonder if there was a pass-through for the rest of the park that wasn't open because it was press day. Because if you're going in, then you're kind of contained in there and there's no way to just move through.
Yeah.
I would want to go back and take a look at it now that it's open just to kind of see the changes between what we saw on press day and now being an open aspect of the park. That's a question that when we were sitting down eating at the cafe, I had asked you. After going through it, is it something that you could see going to every time you go to Universal?
So in my experience, if I went with other people who had never been, I could say yes. Or if I had plenty of time to kill, definitely, because like we killed 3 to 4 hours just doing some of the game stuff. Outside of that, I don't know if it'd be like I need to run through here and get there. I mean, I'm a huge gaming fan. Been playing Nintendo since the NES and all that stuff. But even that, it wasn't one of those things where I have to go back constantly. Kind of like where you have people who have to go to Hogwarts every time they go, or they have to do the backlot tour every time they go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I love doing the backlot tour. I'm a sucker for that. That was my assessment as well. After going through it, I would want to take people who have never been. Mm-hmm. So they can experience how awesome it was. And I'm not a huge video game guy. I played Super Mario Brothers. But yeah, I don't know. It's not something I would probably seek out every time I go to the park.
Well, and to build on that, one of the other issues I ran into, and I think I mentioned it to you as well, is the hidden cost that goes into that as well. Because even though we enjoyed the Mario Kart race, it was the Bowser Jr. fight that we did that I enjoyed that experience more than anything there. But to get into it, you had to have 3 keys. And to get those 3 keys, you had to go and do at least 3 of the other games out there. And so you have those lines that you're going to have to, because there was the Piranha Plant one that was like a whack-a-mole game.
Yep.
And you could have up to 2 people play that, which I could see a line forming real fast. And that took, 30 seconds, 40 seconds to get 1 key. So now you have the line wait to do that. The Goomba one, that one we did in 10 seconds. That wasn't too big. But for, like, not to throw shade at you, but the power-up one, the one where you had to do the sequency.
Yeah.
If you get three challenges, you can't do it, and then you have to get back in line to do it again. I could see somebody easily, depending on the line, lose an hour just trying to get that one key. And you have to have three to go into the hidden area.
Yeah, because, like, if I had not been able to just jump back in and do it, I would have given up.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have gotten that extra key. And so it's kind of gatekeepy in terms of having to acquire those keys to go on to that additional content.
Yeah, even with the other one, which we found, it's not supposed to be hidden, but it was hidden. And little hint for everybody, and spoiler alert if you don't want to hear it. If you go under the thwomp block, there's another one to get a key. And there's a whole other one. But that one had a very long queue as well. Because I think I posted a video of it. I think the whole game is like a minute long. So, and you can have up to two people doing that as well. And even though each person gets the key, you just got to think how many times you have to do that to go in. And then on top of all that, each person has to have three keys on their wristband. And this gets to one of my biggest complaints about it is those wristbands are $40 a person. So if you take a family of four, you all want to go do this extra challenge, that's $160 you have to pay. And then on top of all the time. So another level of gatekeepy, I guess.
Well, and speaking about those wristbands, because that was an observation we had as well. I understand wanting to do the slap bracelet thing.
Yeah, the nostalgia.
The nostalgia. But man, would it be easy to lose those.
And I think that's by design, because even when we did the Koopa challenge, they told us to take it off because you have to flow your arms in it, and you flow your arms, the thing's going to go flying, and you're going to lose it. And even when we were just walking around, I was constantly checking to make sure it just didn't fall off my wrist.
Yeah, and the other aspect about the wristbands was the collectability, because each one had a different symbol for the various characters.
Yeah, I think they had five or six symbols right now, and that's not saying they're going to expand out later to where now you have all the different characters, because they also don't have any of the villains, which I think might be coming in Halloween if they...
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Now, here's another divisive topic when it comes to Super Nintendo World.
All right.
Should it be called Super Nintendo World or Super Mario World?
So I understand why they call it Super Nintendo World, because there are hidden Easter eggs that hit other Nintendo. Like, I don't know if I showed you where they had hidden Pikmin, and there was a couple of things, like one of the shields was a Zelda shield.
Yeah, the Hyrulean crest.
Yeah, so there was a couple of things hidden in there, but I think they call it Super Nintendo World because in Japan, they actually have other experiences that dive into the other stuff. I don't think they had enough space to do more than just the AR Mario Kart as well as the Koopa Challenge. So I think they just kept it because that's the name they gave it all. There's also looks like there's room to expand, so they might be able to bring some of the stuff in, and they just wanted to get this open now.
Yeah, that was something we had discussed while we were there as well, where they could expand out to. Like, if they took over the area where the Transformers ride is, they could expand out there. But then I heard that there's going to be a new Transformers movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably not going to do that. But yeah, it's pretty self-contained, and there's not a lot of space to push out there.
Yeah, because even behind the area where we're in for the Mario Kart ride, on the other side of that is a soundstage.
Yeah.
So they'd have to remove that soundstage out and then build there is the only other place. But Universal doesn't make all their money with just the theme park.
Yeah.
They do it through renting out sound stages.
Looking back at the entire experience, what was your favorite ride or aspect to Super Nintendo World?
It comes back to the Kid Koopa Challenge. And that's because somehow they made Kinect fun. Because that's how it looked like. It was they tracked your shadow, and then they projected it on a screen, and then you're slapping bombs and, you know, throwing fireballs and all that stuff based on your hand movements and all that. It's what I think the Microsoft Kinect wanted to be. And then Nintendo just like, oh, we made it better. And it made it a full-on immersive experience to where, like, I don't know if you noticed, but your shadow shrinks when you got hit.
Yeah.
So you got a little, and then you get the mushroom, and you got bigger. It was fun.
Well, you had to jump.
Yeah, you had to jump. You had to actually aim to throw fireballs. You had to swap bombs and duck bullet bills, all that stuff. And even though I think that one only took a minute, I had more fun doing all that in that 1 minute than I did in the couple minutes we had on the Mario Kart ride.
I'm going to be lame.
Okay.
I'm going to say that what I really enjoyed and stood out for me was how immersive Bowser's Castle was.
Yes.
Walking through that queue line, oh my goodness, they packed so much into that.
Well, yeah, I think it took us like 15 minutes and there was no line.
Yeah.
We were just walking through And we went through almost every different era of Super Nintendo and Mario and Yoshi's Island, Paper Mario, all that stuff.
Well, and they had like the blueprints for how mm-hmm. to build like the bullet bills and the bombs, and just all of those aspects just really felt awesome.
Yeah.
And even the giant statue of Bowser when you first walk in.
Yeah, and it's so imposing. Just like, I don't know if I want to go in here. Because you had to also walk through Bowser's maw to get to that.
Yeah. And so I know I took a lot of pictures because I was super impressed by every... Because like you said, there were a lot of Easter eggs as we were going through.
Yeah.
And whoever designed that did a great job putting that together. Yeah. I would go with that as my most memorable experience for Super Nintendo World.
See, in here, as a mask maker, I thought you were going to talk about the mascots. Because they had the eyes that blinked, the mouths that moved, and it felt like, even though Mario and Luigi felt like they were recycling the same phrases over and over, Princess Peach seemed like she was actually able to interact way more than any of the other ones.
Yeah, because when we met Mario and Luigi, it was kind of like the Star Wars with Disney, where the Stormtroopers and Kylo Ren had the same voice tracks.
Yeah.
Just over and over again. But yeah, you're right. They did, their mouths did move and their eyes did blink. And then we walked up to the princess and we're like, we're here to rescue you. And yeah, it seemed like she had a little more ability to change what she was saying.
Yeah, to say, as well as emote. Because I think at one point, I think she did a wink at somebody else as they were walking away. Whereas everybody else, it was kind of like doing the normal blink. And then, you know, the mouth just kind of flapped. So I don't know if it was just different technology for hers or just maybe the performers underneath.
I do hope for Halloween that they have Bowser.
That would be cool to see a Bowser walking. Or even just like Wario and Waluigi. Some of the villains are my personal favorite, even though it upset me. Drybones. I'd love to see him. There's not a single thing of Drybones out there in the gift shops.
Now that you mention it, gift shops.
Ah, segue. I brought you right in.
So we walked through the gift shop there in Super Nintendo World, looked at everything there, and then we stopped because they let us go through the rest of the park. And so we walked through and we checked out the other gift shops in the park just to compare all of the merchandise. And it was really strange.
Mm-hmm. How did you find it strange? Because I don't know how I found it strange.
So I found it strange because there were differences in what was being offered at the different stores. And some of the things that were being offered at the stores at the front of the park were not being offered in Super Nintendo World. There was that. And, you know, as much as I love Luigi, he was the only coffee cup. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't pick up a Mario and Luigi coffee cup. And then you mentioned your favorite character. There was no merchandise for that.
Well, there was no Dry Bones. And then on a converse, though, it was certain characters you could only get, or it seemed like you could only get, because I ended up getting a Chomp Ball and a Ba-Bomb. I didn't see the Chomper outside of the one outside of the park on the City Walk, whereas all the other shops or whatever, they had the Ba-Bomb, but it was like one or two of them. So it was interesting to see that they didn't have everything kind of focused there. That could just be because it was media day and they might be moving stuff over there, but it kind of removed some of that exclusivity. Like, why do I have to walk all the way back there when I can get 99% of it outside of Universal as well as, you know, the rest of it right inside the gate?
Well, and it was funny with the gift shop. We came out of the ride right into the gift shop.
Yeah.
Just like with the Jurassic Park ride.
Mm-hmm.
They jump you right into the gift shop. Great marketing there.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, they drop you right into the Mario Kart side of it, so where you can get the flag or the pin saying you got number one or whatever you got. And then you're like, oh, and then there's the rest of it all.
And I liked some of the t-shirts mm-hmm. that they had. So they had some fun marketing and souvenir stuff. But yeah, just the fact that not all of the offerings at the gift shops was of note. Yeah, so it was a really great experience overall.
Yeah.
And
like I don't want to dissuade anybody from going. If you've never been and you're even a minor Nintendo fan, it is a fun experience to go to. It's worth going to at least once. And if you've gone once, if you have somebody else that wants to go, go back. But I don't see it's one of those things like you have to go because it's new.
I would always want to take someone who's not gone.
Yeah.
Just to show them, because I do really hand it to them for building that immersive experience. Because even as you looked around, everywhere you turned, there was something. Even at sky level, there were things that you might not notice unless you looked up.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you were on Bowser's Castle looking down
I think it was, yeah, because even when I found the Pikmin thing, it was like, I think I was waiting for you because you were going to the bathroom or whatever. And I just kind of like just stood there looking around. And it was like this one little Easter egg hidden there. And I was like, and it was so small that I guarantee your average person is not going to pick that up unless they're like actually, you know, looking for the Easter eggs. So it's little details like that it was just always something new to look at.
And another great segue. Missed opportunity with the bathroom. I walked in. There were no pipes. There was nothing that you would think were indicative of two plumber brothers having to save a princess. There could have been something there that really made it a great experience, even just going to the restroom. As weird as that sounds.
Well, I've seen some of the weirder, more adult-themed memes about it all, so I kind of understand why they stayed away from it. If you haven't, look up the Piranha Plant Bathroom. Look that up, and you'll understand exactly why they probably shied away from that. But even so, it's like, I didn't go in, but even just kind of having like wallpaper or something to make it feel like you're going into another world, I guess. Yeah. Even though you're just going to the bathroom, which sounds weird.
Well, and now the other thing I would want to take a look at, if we ever get out to Universal Florida, I want to see what they have out there.
Well, I don't believe they have a Nintendo World out there yet. There's still, I think that one's going to be a couple years down the line before they build that.
I think the Universal in Florida tends to be a bigger space. Mm. So they have more opportunity, I think. So they're probably testing stuff out here. And then, of course, you said...
Yeah, Japan got up around 2021, like right when they started opening things back up after COVID.
Yeah. And for me, comparing those experiences would be really interesting to kind of see the differences between the parks.
Yeah, to see when they have more space, how they can utilize it. Or if they're just going to be like, nope, we're just going to, it should be Super Mario World, but we're going to call it Super Nintendo World.
Yeah, well, I think that kind of wraps us up.
Yeah.
Talking about Super Nintendo World, thank you, Universal, for inviting us out for press day.
Thank you so very much. If you guys want to see any of the videos or photos, we have the photo gallery up on the site, agrogamer.com. As well as on our YouTube, we have all the little videos, we have the shorts, and the whole walkthrough Ray did of Bowser's Castle.
So like, subscribe, find us on social media, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the AgroCast Resurrected, the official podcast of AgroGamer. For more gaming news and reviews, please check us out at agrogamer.com. If you enjoyed today's content, follow and subscribe to get notifications of our next episodes.